Hello, and welcome to the World Transformation Movement's Freedom Essay Series. I'm Tim McCartney Snape, and this is Freedom Essay 49. A short biography of Jeremy Griffith by Professor Harry Prosen. Before I present this essay, I would like to give you some background on Professor Prosen. Dr. Harry Prosen is a professor of psychiatry who has worked in the field for over 50 years, including chairing two departments of psychiatry and serving as president of the Canadian Psychiatric Association. Professor Prosen was recently appointed one of the 500 specially selected fellows of the American College of Psychiatrists and a distinguished life member of the American Psychiatric Association. He is also psychiatric consultant to the Bonobo Species Preservation Society. The following biography of Jeremy Griffith is an adapted excerpt from Professor Harry Prosen's introduction to Jeremy's book, Freedom, The End of the Human Condition. The truth is, I am inadequate to write this introduction, but everyone is, so I'll do my best. Firstly, to immediately put into context the fabulous significance of what Australian biologist Jeremy Griffith has achieved, he has delivered the breakthrough biological explanation of the human condition, the holy grail of insight humans have sought for the psychological rehabilitation of our species. This is the compassionate, redeeming, reconciling and transforming understanding of our lives that the human race has lived in eternal hope, faith and trust would one day be found and have so assiduously pursued since we first became conscious beings some 2 million years ago. In short, this is the most momentous event in human history. See video or essay 3 for Jeremy's breakthrough explanation of the human condition. To draw on Jeremy's own penetrating description, the human condition is our species' extraordinary capacity for what has been called good and evil. While it's undeniable that humans are capable of great love and empathy, we also have an unspeakable history of greed, hatred, rape, torture, murder, and war. A propensity for deeds so shocking and overwhelming that the eternal question of why seems depressingly inexplicable. Even in our everyday behaviour, why, when the ideals of life are to be cooperative, selfless, and loving, are we so ruthlessly competitive, selfish, and aggressive that human life has become all but unbearable and our planet near destroyed? How could humans possibly be considered good when all the evidence seems to unequivocally indicate that we are a deeply flawed, bad, even evil species? See video or essay 10 for further description of what the human condition is. But as my profession has taught me only too well, for most people, trying to think about this ultimate of questions of whether humans are fundamentally good or not has been an unbearably self-confronting exercise. Indeed, while the term human condition has become fashionable, its superficial use masks just how profoundly unsettling a subject it really is. Again, the truth is, the issue of the human condition has been so depressing for virtually all humans that only a rare few individuals in history have been sound and secure enough in self to go anywhere near what the human condition really is. See video or essay 11 on the difficulty humans have had engaging with the subject of the human condition, including analysis of Plato's cave allegory. So for Jeremy to so freely and accurately talk about it as he does in Freedom, he clearly must be one of those rare few. Nurtured by a sheltered upbringing in the Australian bush countryside, Jeremy's soundness and resulting extraordinary integrity and thus clarity of thought, coupled with his training in biology, has enabled him to successfully grapple with this most foreboding of all subjects for the human mind of the human condition, and produced the breakthrough, human behaviour demystifying and ameliorating, explanation of it. The journey that Jeremy and those advocating his work have been on to bring these human race-saving understandings to the world, which has culminated in the absolutely astonishing book Freedom, has been a long and torturous one, but one that makes for fascinating and revealing reading. So I will now present a very brief summary of Jeremy's early life, his writing, and his unrelenting efforts to free our species from its incarceration in Plato's terrible cave of human condition denying, alienated darkness. Born on 1st December 1945 and raised on a sheep station, ranch, in rural New South Wales, Australia, Jeremy was educated at Geelong Grammar School in Victoria, a school whose visionary approach to education has produced such notable alumni as Rupert Murdoch and His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales. He gained first-class honours in biology in the state matriculation exams, and in 1965 began a science degree at the University of New England in northern New South Wales. While there, Jeremy played representative rugby union football, making the 1966 trials for the national team, the Wallabies. And for more information on this and other topics that I'm about to mention, please see the written essay as it contains links to much more detail on these topics, along with many historical photos that illustrate this essay. Deferring his studies in 1967, Jeremy undertook the most thorough investigation ever into the plight of the Tasmanian tiger, or thylacine, a search that was to last more than 6 years before concluding the tiger was indeed extinct. His findings were internationally reported, with articles appearing in the American Museum of Natural History's journal, Natural History, and Australian Geographic. His search also featured in an episode of the national television series A Big Country. At this point in the essay, photos appear of Jeremy setting off with nothing but his own enthusiasm, initiative, and ingenuity to rediscover and save the tiger from extinction. In 1971, Jeremy completed his Bachelor of Science degree in Zoology at the University of Sydney, and the following year, in the same self-sufficient spirit with which he had undertaken the tiger search, he established a successful furniture manufacturing business based on his own simple and natural designs, which pioneered the use of bark-to-bark slabs of timber. Some beautiful advertisements are included here that declare a revolution in woodworking to bring you real furniture. On the subject of creativity, I should mention that Jeremy is also an accomplished artist, and you can see many of his instinctive, sensitive, and empathetic line drawings, paintings, and other pieces at www.humancondition.com/Jeremy-art-work. At this point in the essay, several historical photos are included of Jeremy as a boy with apparently boundless enthusiasm, with his pet cockatoo, parrot, duck, and bird watching books. Also is included a striking photograph of Jeremy's parents, Jill and Norman Griffith, which is described in Freedom as follows. This photo was taken under the wisteria beside our home on our sheep station, Totnes, near the town of Mumble, in central New South Wales in 1959, when I was 13 years old. You can see something of the unresigned, human condition-defying, unaccepting of, even contemptuous of, corrupted reality, no alienated nonsense, belief in another true world, relatively innocent, sound, secure, upright, core strength in my mother that nurtured in me the love of and belief in the authentic, instinctive, soulful, true world and defiance of the alienated world of dishonest denial. The essay continues. An upbringing nurtured with real, unconditional love. It is to the nurturing from Jeremy's mother and to the good fortune of having a father who is not oppressively egocentric that we really owe these world-saving insights. In the sheltered isolation of the Australian bush, left Jeremy deeply troubled and perplexed by all the selfishness, aggression, dishonesty, and indifference on the one hand, and all the suffering on the other, that he inevitably encountered in the innocence-destroyed, human-condition-embattled, psychotic wider world. In time, he realised that trying to save animals from extinction or trying to build ideal furniture wasn't going to make a difference to the extraordinary imperfection in human life, and that he would have to get to the bottom of the issue of this seeming complete wrongness of human behaviour, which is the issue of the human condition. And so it was while building his furniture business that Jeremy first began to write down his ever-developing thoughts about the problem of the human condition. Indeed, since the early 1970s, Jeremy has spent the first, often pre-dawn hours of each day thinking and writing about the human condition. After some 10 years of extraordinarily profound, honest, human condition confronting, not avoiding, effective thinking during his late 20s and early 30s, Jeremy was ready to present to the world his fully accountable, but, for virtually everyone else, unbearably self-confronting insights into human behaviour. It was an amazing decade of clear thinking, confirming Einstein's belief that a person who has not made his great contribution to science before the age of 30 will never do so. However, since producing his all-explaining synthesis, the problem Jeremy has encountered has been how to present it in such a way that people could access its confronting truthfulness. It's all very well to find the redeeming, reconciling full truth about humans, but when everyone has been living in determined denial of all the elements that comprise that compassionate full truth, how do you get them to overcome that denial and hear it? That very great philosopher Plato said that when the cave prisoners are free of their bonds, they would be so overwhelmed by the brightness of the light of understanding of our human condition that at first they wouldn't be able to see a single one of the things revealed as real. See video or essay 11. It is Jeremy's journey to find a way to overcome this deaf effect difficulty that reading about the human condition initially causes that has led to his presentation of his synthesis in Freedom. His strategy in Freedom is to encourage readers to watch introductory videos to Freedom and also be prepared to patiently reread the text so you can, as Plato said, grow accustomed to the light. Of course, this strategy was arrived at after much trial and error. Over 30 years, in fact, of presenting his synthesis in slightly different ways in a series of articles and books, beginning in 1983 with submissions to Nature and New Scientist, which were rejected, with the then editor of Nature, John Maddox, telling Jeremy that his starting point theological argument that there is an underlying order in nature is wrong. Jeremy explains why the truth of the order in nature has been denied by human condition avoiding mechanistic science in Freedom Essay 25 and Chapter 4 of Freedom. Then in 1988, Free, the End of the Human Condition, in 1991, Beyond the Human Condition, in 2003, A Species in Denial, which was a bestseller in Australia and New Zealand, but still failed to attract any real interest from the mechanistic scientific establishment. In 2004, The Human Condition documentary proposal. In 2006, The Great Exodus from the Horror and Darkness of the Human Condition. In 2009, Freedom Expanded. In 2011, The Book of Real Answers to Everything. And in 2016, his summa masterpiece book, Freedom, The End of the Human Condition, and its condensation, Transform Your Life and Save the World. In 2017, Jeremy commenced work on the Freedom Essay Series, an ongoing collection of essays and videos designed to help WTM subscribers access all the main subjects covered in Freedom in wonderfully illustrated, bite-sized portions. In 2020, he wrote How Laurens van der Post Saved the World, and presented the one-hour video explanation of the human condition, the transcript of which is provided in the booklet, The Interview. All published works are freely available to be read or printed. Despite the difficulty of presenting such a confronting treatise, Jeremy's books have attracted the support of such accomplished thinkers as Australia's Templeton Prize-winning biologist, Professor Charles Birch, one of New Zealand's foremost zoologists, Professor John Morton, and the preeminent philosopher, Sir Lawrence Vanderpost, whose immense significance to Jeremy and whose contribution to understanding the human condition is explained in Freedom Essay 51. The proposal to make a documentary about the human condition, the Human Condition Documentary Proposal, in which Jeremy outlined all the main biological explanations contained in his synthesis, also received over 100 endorsements from many of the world's leading scientists and thinkers, including Professors Stephen Hawking and the Nobel laureate Charles H. Townes. At this point in the essay, a photograph appears taken in London in 1993 of the World Transformation Movement's patrons, Jeremy Griffith, and myself, Tim McCartney Snape, with the late Sir Lawrence Vanderpost, the preeminent philosopher whose writings about the Bushmen of the Kalahari and about the human condition were of crucial assistance in confirming Jeremy's instinctive belief that humans' distant ancestors were cooperative and loving, and in confirming so many other thoughts that Jeremy has had about the human condition. As Jeremy says in Freedom Essay 51 and paragraph 1282 of Freedom, Sir Lawrence prepared the way for freedom, and he is the most quoted author in it. But while Jeremy's work has drawn praise and garnered impressive commendations from some exceptional thinkers able to acknowledge his insights, he has also had to withstand the enormous cynicism, indifference, and even persecution that humans' historical resistance to engaging the subject of the human condition produces. Indeed, it was soon after he began writing that Jeremy realised that not only was the scientific establishment failing its responsibility to address the issue of the human condition, but that, like the rest of humanity, it was treating the whole issue as an anathema. See Freedom Essay 40. As a result, Jeremy established in 1983 a non-profit organisation dedicated to the study and amelioration of the human condition, now called the World Transformation Movement, or WTM for short. So fearful, however, has humanity been of the issue of the human condition that a vicious campaign was launched in 1995 to try to shut down Jeremy's work and bring the WTM into disrepute. See Freedom Essay 56, why there have been ferocious attacks on the WTM, and the essay Persecution of the WTM for Exposing the Human Condition at www.humancondition.com/persecution. Jeremy, along with fellow WTM patron, renowned mountaineer and twice honoured Order of Australia recipient Tim McCartney Snape, and the other supporters of the WTM, determinately resisted, and the result was, at the time, the biggest defamation case in Australia's history against the two biggest left-wing, described by Jeremy as dogmatic, pseudo-idealistic, let's pretend there's no human condition that has to be solved and the world should just be ideal, dishonest media organisations in Australia, including its national public broadcaster. In 2010, after 15 long years, Jeremy and Tim were vindicated, enabling Jeremy to concentrate solely on producing new works such as Freedom, the End of the Human Condition, his summa masterpiece. In conclusion, and given Jeremy was so vilified he was made a pariah, I would like to emphasise the height of my regard for him. He is the most impressive person and courageous thinker I have ever met, and no doubt ever will. Normally people disappoint you at some point, or on some occasions, but Jeremy never does. Basically, he is not egocentric. Being exceptionally well nurtured with unconditional love as a child, he is sound and secure in himself, and as a result, is not preoccupied having to prove his worth all the time, like most people are. Free of such selfish self-preoccupation, he is selflessly concerned only with finding a way to end all the suffering in others, which has resulted in him focusing on finding the solution to the human condition. And being sound and secure in self has meant that in tackling that issue, he has been able to think in an unafraid, truthful, and thus effective way about it. As the philosopher Nikolai Berdyaev acknowledged, knowledge requires great daring. It means victory over ancient primeval terror. It must also be said of knowledge that it is bitter, and there is no escaping that bitterness. Particularly bitter is moral knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, which is the issue of the human condition. But the bitterness is due to the fallen state of the world. There is a deadly pain in the very distinction of good and evil, of the valuable and the worthless. It is quite amazing. In all my years of meeting people and practicing psychiatry, I haven't encountered a soul like him. He is one of those incredibly rare individuals, a person of intellectual rigour and personal nobility who has the capacity to be completely honest without a personal bent. When you are with him, you can feel his passion for the truth, which he embodies. Indeed, meeting Jeremy as I did after reading so much of his work, I realised that he lives 100% in the world that he writes about. An immensely inspired, childlike, zestful, enthralled with all of life, truthful world where the human condition is at all times being addressed and understood. Unlike everyone I've ever come across, for whom discussion of the human condition is so extremely difficult, almost impossible, one might say, when you talk to Jeremy about the human condition and the biology surrounding it, the world changes. Everything seems possible. Biology makes sense. Logic, simple and obvious truth, replaces overcomplicated intellectual scientific downright rubbish, the vast majority of it. Indeed, science, and biology in particular, is so saturated with evasive, dishonest denial that the denial-free world of understanding that Jeremy introduces us to is so new, it is akin to having to start your education all over again. See, for example, Freedom Essay 25, The Truthful Biology of Life. Jeremy's capacity for unerring and unrelenting honesty is literally staggering. But as you will see, it is always accompanied by understanding. His is no feel-good, guru-like, false prophet form of totally dubious and ephemeral help for humans' troubled lives, but a get-to-the-bottom-of-all-the-problems, truthful, real, insightful, ameliorating love that the world has been so in need of. And thankfully, right through all the vehement resistance that he has faced and overcome in the last 30 years of his life, which took him near to death, Jeremy never gave up his responsibility that he saw right from the early years of his completely nurtured with love upbringing to deliver the understanding of human nature that would end all the suffering in the world. Since coming across Jeremy's work almost 15 years ago and realizing its enormous world-saving significance, I've kept one of his pieces of writing with me at all times. Having these insights into what it means to be human brings such clarity and change to everything that staying in close contact with them in a world that is so distressed and psychologically crippled brings me relief, security, and optimism for the future like nothing else I have ever encountered. Jeremy is the ultimate psychotherapist. The psychotherapist for psychotherapists. In fact, all the great theories I've encountered in my lifetime of studies of psychiatry can be accounted for under his explanation of human origins and behaviour. I want to emphasise that Jeremy does describe the world exactly as it is, with all its imperfections. But just as he describes all the horror of the world, he also provides the insight into our condition that makes possible the only real hope, optimism, and downright out-of-your-skin excitement for the future of the human race and our planet. A transformational experience Jeremy introduces us to in Freedom Essays 15, 33, 36, 57, and 58, and of course Chapter 9 of Freedom. Indeed, while the overall significance of freedom is its ability to transform the reader, and thus the human race, by presenting the most relieving, uplifting and positive story ever told about humans, The explanation of the human condition in Chapter 3 of Freedom, which is summarised in Chapter 1 and the subject of video or essay 3, is so amazingly accountable, insightful, and relieving that it alone will transform you. The importance of the ideas in Jeremy's books is immeasurable. The depth they enable us to reach in understanding ourselves and our world is bottomless. The great impasse to a full understanding of our existence has finally been breached. This truly is it, the day of days, the coming of our species' moment of liberation, the implications and context of which Jeremy fully deals with in paragraphs 1278 to 1279 of Freedom. I am so very, very fortunate to have spent time with Jeremy and to have spoken with him almost fortnightly for almost 15 years. However, it is not who Jeremy is, but what he has done that is so important. And in this regard, I commend his work to you with all my mind, heart, and soul. You are in for an absolute feast of knowledge, insight, and ultimately love like you could never have imagined. And here ends Professor Prosen's brief biography of Jeremy. You've been listening to Freedom Essay 49, which you can read by clicking on the Read Essay button on your device or by going to the WTM homepage at www.humancondition.com, where all the essays and videos can be found. To learn more about a topic that was raised in this podcast, please go to the written version of the essay because it includes references to other relevant freedom essays, as well as the sources of any quotes used. You can read Jeremy's full biography at www.humancondition.com/Jeremy-Griffith. And to watch Jeremy's breakthrough redeeming explanation of the human condition, see Freedom Essay 3 or read Chapter 1 of Freedom. These essays were created in 2017 to 2021 by Jeremy Griffith, Damon Isherwood, Fiona Cullen-Ward and Bronnie Fitzgerald of the Sydney WTM Centre. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape. Thanks for listening.